This evening's reading is Psalm 139, and it can be found on page 628 of the Pew Bibles. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light as you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and you know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord.
I will bow our heads and I'll lead you in a prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege of looking at Psalm 139 now. Pray you'd help me as I speak, help us all as we listen. And may the glory be yours alone, the one who sent Jesus into our world to rescue, love us and redeem us, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you wish to follow Psalm 139, page 628, the Pew Bibles are at the end of the pews. So good to see so many of you here this evening. And our diet is Psalm 139 this evening. I saw no reason to change that, anticipating a slightly different congregation this evening. I was slightly anxious about how to introduce the psalm because there are three evident things that might not be obvious to one. And I thought I could look at the psalm and then we'll do the conclusion at the end with those three things. Then I thought, you know what? I'm probably going to do these three interesting things to start with. And then we're going to have a look at those three things at the end by way of reminder. In the middle, as it were, the jam in the sandwich, we're going to look at Psalm 139. The first thing that's not often thought about with this psalm, it's a psalm to be said in private. That's to say, the psalms are Israel's songbook. We've got hymns from today's church. Sometimes we use Sing Glory. Sometimes the words are on the screen. Sometimes they're written in a summer camp. But we have our own diet of worship publicly that we sing. And what a rich variety we've had this evening. But Psalm 139 was not written for public worship. It was written for private prayer. Dear old Boris knows the difference between what you do in public and what you get up to in private. But this is private. This is just about you. And we need to reflect on that, because Jesus said if you want to be rewarded by God, it's what you do in private that counts. So when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and your heavenly Father, who sees what you do in secret, in private, will reward you. Now there's an appetizer to start with, isn't there? God is going to reward you. There is a dividend payable from heaven, and it's coming your way. It needs to be just you, on your own in private, and perhaps no one else need know about it. Or if you're going to throw things about and the person you're with is yelling at you, just be careful, it might not be that private. Actually, it's no joking matter. But find somewhere to be on your own and pray this prayer. That's what it's written for. Second thing to say is about this prayer is personal to you, and it's between you and God. And so the personal pronoun, either I or me, as this prayer is being prayed in private, is written not just once but twice, almost on every verse in this psalm apart from one. And so this is a prayer particularly for your relationship with God. So vicars tend to be thinking about the people they're preaching to. Sometimes when you're listening to a sermon, you might well be thinking, well, I hope they're hearing that. Actually, this is about you, and it's about you and God. I got the bike out yesterday, determined to enjoy the lovely weather, and there was a tire that was flat, so it duly got pumped up. And the acid test as to whether the tyre was going to stay or not was to just get on the bike and see if the air held. And the tyre was good. The test for this particular psalm, to see whether you're in private, to see whether you are with God and it's not about someone else, the acid test to make sure that the air is still in the tyre, or that you have got what this psalm is about, is that once you've started it, you will want more. So it's about you, it's about you and God, and the test as to whether the spiritual air has stayed in your life as a result of this is that it will be about you, it will be about you and God, and you will have this sense that you want more. And so verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And then the prayer that we'll look at in detail in a moment continues. And then right towards the end of the psalm, there's another prayer, personal between you and God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. In other words, this experience of being known by God and knowing him only generates a further thought within me that I want more of this. This is a prayer, it's a poem, and it's written in four parts. There are six verses to each of the four parts. There are 24 verses. And each of these six verses have a particular theme. And the summary of the theme is concluded quite rhythmically at the end of each six verses. So if you will, there's four verses about what the psalm is speaking about, then they're concluded with a couplet, and then the verse or the psalm changes gear and you're on to the next point again. You're left after praying these psalms and verses through at least four distinct areas in our lives. And the first thing is there in verses 1 to 6, and it's thoroughness. You know me. You know when I sit and when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. And then, as it were, to conclude this reflection that I am known, the psalmist says, verse 6, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. My father left school age 14 and started a carpentry apprenticeship for 5 years. And I realized, as I knew and loved him over his long life, he died a couple of 3 years ago, that he knew everything there was to know about wood. He studied arboretums and he worked wood like no one else I've known. What he knew about wood wasn't worth knowing. He knew everything there was. In fact, I remember one day when he touched the doors of the church, we were concerned about some particular fungus that might be eating away at it. He rubbed his hands over it and he said, "Oh, I know what this is," straight away. I ran it by Peter Burgess. We were looking at what you should put on it to protect it. My father knew all about wood. Right from a wee lad, he grew up with it. Who knows you more than anyone else? Who knows everything about you? Who studied you, every intricate thought and feeling and movement you have? Your heavenly Father knows you. Rounded and grounded might be the aspiration for full-on mental health. So be it, but there will always be a huge deficit which will show in some way, shape or form unless you have this wonderful experience, not just as being loved by a heavenly parent, but being loved by a heavenly Father. You are known. Can you start to say that prayer, "Lord, know me"? And as you start to be known and loved by your loving Heavenly Father, do you have this wonderful experience that this psalmist found, that you want to know more about him? The Lord thoroughly knows you. That's verses 1 to 6. Verses 7 to 12, where can I go from your spirit? The expansiveness of God's love. Look at how this next theme carries on. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, if I go to Condoa or stay at home, you are going to be there. And then the conclusion, even darkness can't hide me. The darkness is as light to you. The expansiveness of God's love and presence upon your life. Some of you know I worked for 7 years during my vacation in the holiday town of Frinton. Sorry if you're from that particular part, but we used to joke that it was Harwich for the continent, Frinton for the incontinent, but moving swiftly on. I was doing some reading on coastal towns, and the vicar of Frinton used to tell me that, you know what, Mark, people used to go to coastal towns. It was true of Frinton. It's on the east coast, to escape. And I think that's true of a lot of coastal towns. People head there just to escape. You can escape to your shed. You can escape to an internet site. You can escape to your phone. You can escape from your parents. You can escape from your children. Everyone tries to escape at some point in their life. You could do a whole theology on that, because we want to hide from God. It's the first thing Adam and Eve did. When they realize they've done something wrong, God, we better hide from him. We escape. But this psalmist realized that I can't go anywhere without the God who knows me and loving me going with me. Where can I escape from your love and your presence? The expansiveness of God's far-reaching eyes and love and hold of you. Our third stanza comes rapidly on in verse 13 to 19. Notice how the gear changes again. It's about his physicality. You've created my inmost being. You've knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Something here about the sacredness of our physical presence and the sacredness of the paths we tread. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The Lord is going to guide you and look after you no matter where you go. The sacredness of who you are as a physical person and what you're going to be doing with your life. I'm reminded of the well-known hymn, "Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise. that my whole being may proclaim thy being and thy ways, so shall no part of day or night from sacredness be free, but all my life in every step be fellowship with thee. Doing holy work does not make you sacred. Going overseas does not mean you're more virtuous than anyone else. Working in a church certainly doesn't make you sacred. What makes you sacred and holy is knowing that God is with you wherever you are. The God who knows you, from whom you can't escape, has placed his hand on your life, and that's what makes you sacred and holy to him. This is a lovely, poetic and healing and reassuring psalm. And then there's a fascinating change of gear where you almost think that the psalmist has got out of bed on the wrong side of the day, the last stanza of these six verses. If only you'd slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. And that particular reflection on holiness, if you're wanting to be with God and know him and love him, if you find that there's something that is anti-God, against God, because you know him and love him, then necessarily you will start to feel that you are against that as well. I hate those who hate you. Strong words indeed. But if you're a holy person, you will be hot under the collar about things that displease God. It's simply a sign that you know him and love him. I've said before, but it needs saying again, it's always worth using the forces of hell for the good of heaven. There's nothing wrong in saying, I hate those who hate you. Perhaps that's one of the very reasons many of us are burdened and committed to supporting the church in Tanzania and Kondoa, to support people who are surrounded by others of the Muslim faith, to look after those who are less fortunate than ourselves, for children in the kindergarten who have no fabric or building. There is a holy instinct to say, that is not right. I want to do something about that. That is a sacred and godly good thing to feel. So Psalm 139, this is all about you. It's said in private, and then according to the promise of the words of Jesus himself, we will be rewarded. It's about my relationship with God. And I will know that that reward is coming and my relationship with God is alive and intact, just like the vicar's tires who have stayed up when he's riding round Hayesden Lake. I know I've got it because I will start to want to know him more. Verse 1, you know me, Lord. The conclusion of the psalm, with that knowledge and love, search me even more. And may I be led in the way everlasting. I commend this psalm to you for your own reading and your prayer. And may the Lord indeed reward you from heaven, the one who knows you and loves you. You can't escape from him. Everything you do with him will thereby be sacred. And you will join with him in his holy mission to see the world transformed. A moment's quiet before I lead you in a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you know us and love us. Grant us grace to return that love and honor to you. May the Christ who died upon the cross and rose again to life forevermore dwell in each one of our hearts by faith, by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that this prayer wouldn't leave us, but would grow stronger each day. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thanks very much, Mark. On behalf of the leaders, there are actually 20 people in our group, if you include the 3 Tanzanian drivers, and there are 9 leaders in some form or other. So we're well catered for on the leader side. And we just want to say a huge thank you for everybody for your support, financial, your prayers. Please continue praying for us. But I just wanted to mention this evening, first of all, the theme that we've chosen for our trip, our youth trip to Condoa. And the theme is one of Bishop Given's favorite sayings. It's love God, live God, and give God. So in a sense, we are going to love God. We're going to Condoa to worship with the Tanzanian people, to experience the way they worship, to experience their love of God, and to share our love of God with them. We will have our morning prayers. We will have our evening reflections. And we will enjoy Sunday and probably some other days worship with them. We're going to live God. One of the things Bishop Given says, he says, God sent his son Jesus to live amongst us. And he says, when you come from Europe, you're coming here to Condoa to live amongst us and to share with us our humble lives. And that's the most wonderful thing you can do. You really don't need to do anything else, he says. So we're going to live God in that sense. And then we're going to give God. And the giving has started some 5 or 6 years ago, where so generously the parish has supported a kindergarten being built and started. The kindergarten is now fully underway. There are 57 students, last time we counted, between the age of 4 and 5 in the kindergarten. Something that this church created, was instrumental in created with God's wonderful blessing. And that of those children, some 70 or 80% are Muslim. In a Christian church school, having the opportunity to hear the word of God. And as our young people are going to teach in the school pretty much for a week and a bit, in the mornings we're going to take some of the themes from Holiday Club, that's God's Zoo, and we're going to take those into the kindergarten there with the young people, and we're going to share God's love with them. So we pray that God will be with us on the trip. And we really do ask you to pray for us each day as we travel around. There'll be an Instagram to follow, and Ray Tanner will be sort of mastering the communications from this side if anybody wants to know what's going on. But there'll be an Instagram to follow of our daily activities. And we do hope that you'll pray for us. We pray that strong relationships will be developed between the young people of our church and the young people of Condoa. We pray that the kindergarten, which has been launched, will successfully bed down, and this trip will be a wonderful blessing for the young youngsters who we know already are extremely excited about the visit that's coming up. So thank you so much for all your prayers, and we're about 45 days away now, so we're really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Chancel steps here. Why don't you come, Juliet, to represent your Jack? Yes, come on. And maybe 4 or 5 trusted folks just gather round symbolically as I lead in a prayer. Yes, do come. They've all gone all embarrassed and shy. Thanks, John. Let's give a faith applause. Come on. Yeah, well done. Even if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Lord, lead these people of yours safely and well to the Diocese of Condoa. May what they put their hands to be filled with praise. May they know your sacred anointing on all they do. keep them well physically, and may they grow spiritually in knowledge and love of you. We pray again for your church there. Open their hearts to receive blessing. And for those we pray for this evening, we pray that their hearts too will be open to be truly blessed by the love and support of others. We hold a few moments of quietness. So I commission you in the name of Christ for the furtherance and the work of the gospel in the Diocese of Condoa from this church. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.